how God loves us so much that He made His word available to us to be strengthened, to live, and to win every day. Get your hearts prepared today as you receive this life-transforming truth from Favor Ebenam and be changed forever. God bless you.
As long as when you wake up is a new day, you have to live for God. That new day, when you wake up, that day is a brand new day to live for God. So that's why Paul made a statement. Paul said, I know I have done a lot of things. He said, but I still press to do more. Because as long as you're still on this earth, there's a lot to do for God. You see, your righteous work still goes on. I want you to say to yourself, say, Father, as I receive your word today, your word is going to build me up. I'm going to receive this word with meekness, and I'll be transformed and changed for life. In the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we are continuing from last week's meeting, how to win in all situations, or how to win in difficult situations. I'm going to call this one how to win in difficult situation. Because, see, there are a lot of times that children of God, like, face some kind of difficult situation. Like, difficult situation that it seems like, how am I going to come out of this? See, how am I going to come out of this kind of thing? They've prayed. They've done everything they're supposed to do. But then, nothing is changing. You see, terrible, difficult situation. But you see, thank God for this meeting. Today's meeting is a meeting of change and transformation. I would like to open to our Bible. I'm sure you're with your Bible there, you know, looking at the Word of God. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So I'd like us to go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Okay. The Bible tells us, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, did you see that? Your adversary, the devil, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Wow. See, the Bible tells us something. I'm still reading it. It says, be sober, be vigilant. Okay? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Now, you need to understand what the Bible means by as a roaring lion. You know, a roaring lion, there's something about roaring lions. Why do lions roar? Have you ever asked yourself, why do lions roar? Now, lions roar, number one, because they want to threaten. They want to threaten other animals. They roar to threaten animals. They threaten them. Oh, that I'm around, I'm here, the king is around. That kind of thing, you see. Number two, why do lions roar? They roar to alert their other tribes. You see, they alert their other tribes, telling them, look, there's a prey, let us get ready to eat the prey. So the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he has, see, let me tell you something about the devil. The devil has demons, see. He has demons. And these demons are his pride. These are those ones that work for him. You see, they are agents that work for him. So the devil is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, when we understand this here, we are vigilant. You see, the Bible says, be vigilant. That means you don't live your life anyhow, right? You are vigilant. You are vigilant. You're not ignorant. You know, vigilance there means you are awake. Your spirit is not sleeping. You see, your body can sleep, but your spirit should never sleep. There's a difference. Let me tell you something. There are many people that their spirits sleep, and when their spirits sleep, anything can happen to them. Devil attack them. You know, have you ever seen when a child of God, all of a sudden, the guy just died. The girl just died. What happened? That person's spirit was asleep. See, when your spirit is asleep, anything can happen to you. When I say your spirit is asleep, what am I saying? Your spirit is not active to the things of God. Your spirit is not active to the word of God. Your spirit is not active to the realities of God. Your spirit is asleep. Never, never, ever, ever allow your spirit to sleep. Never. When your spirit sleeps, things happen to you. Bible says, when men slept, he said the enemies came and showed tears. Do you understand? When men slept, the enemy came and showed tears. That's what the Bible says. When your spirit sleeps, never, never. You see, your body can sleep. And sometimes, I just need some rest, you know. But your spirit is awake. You know, there are people, their spirit is sleeping to the point that when they are sleeping, the Spirit of God wakes them up to pray. Yeah? And they won't wake up. They can't stand up. That's the definition of spirits sleeping. Slumber. Your spirit is active. When they say, let's pray, you're ready. See, your spirit is hungry for the things of God. Hungry, always. Always hungry for the things of God. Your spirit is active. Full of the truth of God's word. You see, your spirit has to control your body. You know, the Bible says something. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Do you know what that means? It means it's possible for sin to have dominion over a man. But it says, no, sin shall not have. Meaning that you are supposed to be in charge. You're supposed to be in dominion. You are your spirit, yeah? So you're supposed to be in dominion. You're supposed to be reigning. Nothing should move you. You are the one that your spirit should be in charge of your body. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to also read another scripture, Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. Okay, let me read from, I'm reading from chapter 9. Now, Apostle Paul is telling us his vision, his purpose, yeah? He's telling us why God called him. And he said, God called me to make all men see. Look at this verse 9. I'm reading from verse 9, yeah? So to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Oh, see, there's something you need to understand. There are a lot of things that are hidden. You know, God hides himself. Are you aware? God hides himself. Do you know why God hides himself? God hides himself so that people that are proud will not reach him. People that are proud will not get him. Proud people will not get him. He said, he resists the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. So it takes someone who fears the Lord. The Bible says, God reveals the secrets to them that fear him. So everything you want to see, everything you need in life is in God. But then it takes someone who fears the Lord to get it. You see? Now, I'm still reading. Verse 10, it says, to the intents that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Oh, this is powerful. It says, you know what Paul says, the principalities and power in the heavenly places. That means the angels, all the principalities and powers in heavenly places will get to know from us, will learn from us the wisdom of God. The wisdom, that means as a child of God, you have been given the access, the ability to use God's word, to walk God's word, so that the principalities and powers, the angels, will see your walkings and be marveled. I said, so this is how God is. Do you know that the angels don't really know God like you do? See, because they don't have the Holy Spirit. Now, see, God, right, did not make anyone in his image and likeness, only us. We are the only one. The Bible says Christ has been made unto us wisdom. You see, wisdom. So, the angels, when they see us, they see the wisdom of God. They learn from us the wisdom of God. They see the glory of God when they see you. Now, what kind of situation, what kind of circumstances, what kind of problem is too big for you to win, to overcome? What kind of problem? You know, there are times whereby as a child of God, you go through a lot of tough issues, tough issues. But see, let me tell you something. If you know, there's something you need to understand. There's what they call patience, yeah? And there's what they call endurance. And there's what they call long-suffering. See those three? When you get to patient stage, right? You enter into endurance. Then you enter into long-suffering. You can experience those three as a child of God. Are you aware? Patience. You can be patient. I'm patient. Now see, when we're talking about patience here, patience is a kind of faith. Okay? Patience is not patience when you're complaining. Patience is not patience when you're complaining. You know, there are people who complain and they say it's patience. Say, I've been, why they are in that patience, yeah? They are complaining, telling people their problems here and there. They are complaining. They're just, that's not patience. It's not going to work. Do you know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews? It said, follow them who through faith and patience inherited the promise. You know, the Bible, when we talk about patience, one of the persons that we must learn patience from is Abraham. The Bible tells us that Abraham did not have a child.
Abraham was 75 years old when God promised him a child.
Even after God came to tell him that he's going to have a child, he didn't just have a child immediately. The Bible says Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Do you know what that means? That means Abraham did not give up. There were opportunities to give up. Even if God has promised him that something is going to happen, opportunities came. Let me tell you something. When you want something in life, maybe you're suffering from something, you're going through some challenge and all of that. By the way, as a child of God, we don't suffer. We don't call it suffer. Challenges makes us. Challenges build us strong. Challenges make us know God more. Challenges energizes us, strengthens us. See, challenges are ladders. Ladders, you understand? It pushes you. Now, when you go through things like that, see, opportunities to give up will arise. That's when you now know that, yes, I need to put the word of God to work. Because the Bible says Abraham had opportunities to give up. He had opportunities.
Abraham was promised a child at 75. Abraham had the child at 100 years old.
He said, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I mean, strong faith. One thing about strong faith, you give glory to God. You give glory to God. That means Abraham was someone that every single day he gave. See, there are different ways to give glory to God. Abraham was talking. Said, it shall be as God has said. I can see it happening. Abraham went about sharing testimonies of something that people have not seen physically. That was faith. Staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. You know, people give up so soon. People really give up so soon because, let me tell you something, the word of God does not fail. It doesn't. The word of God never fails. It never fails. And the Bible never told you that things just happen easily like that. See, the Bible says, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation. Meaning, you know, when we talk about salvation, salvation is broad. Salvation is not only when you just came to Christ. Salvation is the totality of the blessings of God. Salvation is the totality of the workings of God. Do you understand? So salvation is not, I just came to Christ and I'm saved. No. Now, let me explain something to you. There's something they call the law of liberty. That's law of freedom. And there's what they call the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When you came to Christ, yeah? When you came to Christ, the law of liberty was presented to you. Meaning that the Bible says, for God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. See, that's the law of liberty. Should not perish, but have eternal life. Meaning that you have been called into freedom. The law of freedom. The law of the freeborn. You are born into freedom. That means now you're free. You can walk out of your situation. You can walk out of your problems. Because now you found out that, oh, so I don't have to be struggling for these things anymore. I don't have to struggle in this situation, in this problem anymore. So you can literally walk out of it. I say, no, I'm not going to allow this thing to have dominion over me again. This sickness, I cannot allow this sickness. I cannot let it frustrate me anymore. See, because I'm a child of God. So you're there. I say, okay, now let's see who is boss here. I command you to die and get out in the name of Jesus Christ. But you are still feeling the pain. You say, look, I know I'm still feeling this pain, but I refuse to recognize you. I refuse to acknowledge that pain. And I refuse to allow you there. That is what it calls stubborn faith. And as you see, let me tell you something. That's a law of liberty. Now, there's what they call the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, that law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a law. That one, you have to live it in Christ. It said in Christ. Now, I'm gonna just quickly open it. The book of Romans, chapter 8. Yeah? I'm going to read from verse 1. Then verse 2. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Now there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ, who walk. Because see now, someone who is in Christ is expected to walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Not after the flesh. You walk after the Spirit. Because now you're in Christ. You're not expected to walk after the flesh. Because now, when you walk after the flesh, there's a boss there. There's a king there, which is the devil. The devil is the king of the flesh. He rules in the realm of the flesh. When you walk after the flesh, he gets a hold of you. This is why many people, children of God, they are being oppressed of the devil. Because they walked after the flesh. Even while they're in Christ. You see? Now they say, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. What does it mean to walk after the Spirit? It means to walk after the Word of God. To walk in the Word. To walk the Word of God. To walk according to what God's Word says. To do God's word, to live by God's word. That's what it means. Who walk not after the Spirit? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, look at what I'm talking about, verse 2. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Ah. There's a law in Christ Jesus, you see. It's called the law of the Spirit. That law is what sustains you in Christ. That law is what keeps you in Christ. That law is what keeps you above every situation and circumstances in Christ Jesus. Like I said, the first law is anyone who is in Christ should not perish. The first law is that if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. Build up things that become you. Now, when you came into Christ, that's the law. Because for you to enjoy such a thing, you have to be in Christ. So it's the law. For any man that does not want to perish, he has to believe in Jesus Christ and confess Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. So he becomes born again. That's the first law. That's the law of liberty. Now, in that Christ Jesus now, there's a law called the law of the Spirit. You live by the Spirit to maintain such victory in Christ Jesus. Now, see, let me tell you something. There are situations, right, and circumstances that comes your way when you grow and you don't see them as a challenge. You know why? Because you have grown above those things. See, you no longer think about this world. Oh God. You know, there are a lot of things. Sometimes, let me tell you something. There are people who let me give an example. There are people who get sick, for example, maybe while they were young. See, they had some sickness. Some people were even born sick. For example, the Bible tells us that there was a man that was born blind. Yeah? And Jesus healed the man. The demon was responsible for the blindness. Can you imagine? And the man was born blind. And So there are people who, it is not their fault, right, that they are in the situation that they are in today, right? But when they're in Christ Jesus, it's now possible for that situation to go. First of all, he's acknowledging the possibility. The possibility, first of all, the possibility. Now, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. You see, that means in God, there's no impossibility. In Christ, there's no impossibility. All things are possible. I tell people all the time, I said, faith is not just God can do it. Faith is God will do it. Let me explain. God can heal you, okay? And God will heal you are not the same thing. If I say, I can buy you a house, and I will buy you a house, are they the same? No. They're not the same. So many people are in that realm of God can. I believe God can. I believe God can. That's the realm of hope. You see? God can. What about God wants to? God is willing to. God wants to. God will. And God is. This is the biggest faith. Now, we all know that God has done everything in Christ Jesus. For example, there's no, let me put it this way. There's no sickness in Christ. See, Bible says we have been healed in Christ Jesus. So even the person that you see that is sick today, he has been healed in Christ Jesus. His healing is already available in Christ. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Now, all things are passed away. Now, okay, now, but the person can tell you, why am I still suffering this thing? That's what we call the activation. Activation. For example, when you come to Christ, you may not feel that you're in Christ. A man can become born again now, and while he's born again, he still feels like a sinner. It's possible. And he still go back to the world. He just gives that to Christ, yeah. But he's still doing the same thing he was doing. Why he was not born again? Why? And he'll tell you because he doesn't feel the Holy Ghost. He doesn't feel that he's born again. He has to acknowledge. You see, he has to activate the presence of God in him, the presence of the Holy Ghost in his life, for it to start working in him. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Now that you're in Christ, activate that law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. And then sometimes you say, okay, I'm doing it, but it's not working. Now, for example, I recommend sometimes, I used to tell people, I say, it's not possible for you to engage in the realm of the Holy Spirit. You see, because the Holy Spirit is a partner with us in getting things done. Remember, it's the doer of God's work. It's not possible to engage with the Holy Spirit and fail. It's not possible. There are some people that are so lazy to fast. For example, there are some experiments I normally do sometimes. You know, back then, when I'm going through a serious challenge, okay, I'll fix a fasting. For example, like one day, I'll just decide to say, this particular day I'm going to fast. So now, when fasting, right, once I'm fasting, I'll be very conscious of what's going on. Because I'll be fasting and praying and studying the word at that time. I take away my mind from every other thing, you know. And then, when I'm seeing little change, you see, not complete change, I'm going to add another day of fasting. And at this second day, I'm going to make sure I focus more than the first day. I will see change. Then I will add another day. See you, I'm going to see total change. Because I found that the Holy Ghost is a partner with me. He's always excited to say, oh, this person wants to partner with me to make sure there's a change, because that's God's will. I know that God is always willing to make sure I come out of this nonsense. You see, He has plans, great plans for, you know, I used to tell people something. A lot of times, I say to them, if you play the games of this earth, yeah, like if you play on the earth, on this earth, play with their system, the rules on the earth, and the time, the schedule of this earth, and, you know, the things that happen, and you just live the way the world program people to live, you're going to find yourself where the devil has plenty of time to interfere in your plans. What do I mean? I mean that Colossians 3, can we just look at it? Colossians 3. All right, so I'm going to read from verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. It said, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Ha ha. Lira kapas so bradias ke. Lirom do ko bradias. If it is true that you're risen with Christ, He said, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now, let me tell you how I understand this scripture. What He's saying is that carry your life to that realm where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. There's a realm. In that realm is the realm of God. You start seeing things the way God sees things. Challenges becomes bread to you. Because now you don't function according to the earth and the things of the earth. You don't see the way people of the earth see. You know, Jesus said something. Jesus said, I'm from above. Aha. He said, you are from here. He said, I'm not from here. I'm from above. So I don't think like people. I don't think like you. I think from above. If God, how does God think? How does God think? You see, how does God think? Does God recognize challenges? No. God does not recognize challenges. If God wants to do something, He does it. So that's something you're supposed to understand. You know, there are many people that they are the ones that is limitations of themselves. They want to do something. The Spirit of God gives them an idea. They're already thinking, oh, the money is too much. The capital is too much. Ah, the money is too much. See, they already spoiled the whole idea because of their mind. You think God that give you an idea, He doesn't know what He was doing. You're already looking at the money. See, what you look at matters a lot. No wonder the Bible says, why we look not at the things that are seen. Say, for the things that are seen are temporal. For the things that are not seen are eternal. You have to start thinking the way God thinks. So you don't recognize all this challenge and difficult, so-called difficult situations. Because you're living in the realm of faith, strong faith. You don't recognize those things. They are foreign to you. See, do you know, when you study the Bible, you find out that there are some, the way Jesus handled situations, there were some terrible situations that He brought to Jesus, and Jesus was just so calm about it. He was so calm about it. Think about it. He was so calm. Jesus was so calm. Look at them in the boat. The boat was just shaking. Jesus was sleeping. He was sleeping. The disciples were scared. They were so scared. They woke Jesus. They said, how can you be sleeping in this kind of situation? Oh, God. And Jesus woke up. And he was surprised, like, just this little thing. Jesus said, peace be still. He calmed the storm. Everything became normal. This is how God expects you to think. This is how God. Do you know that if you're in any situation and you're not at peace, that situation will never solve. If you're facing any challenge and you are not at peace, forget it. that challenge will never solve. Until you are at peace. The Holy Spirit says, okay, now you're ready. The Holy Spirit does not work when you are not at peace. He's the God of peace. See, God is called the God of peace. God of peace. Because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. You know that God has given you authority. Authority in Christ. And you're not afraid. You're not shaken. You're not scared of anything. Even the things that are going to come, you're not scared. You are prepared ahead. That's why I said, when you join Bible studies, when you study the Word of God, when you get equipped, it's called a school of the Spirit for a reason. Because you are getting prepared. Because there will be an exam. When you went to school, they gave you an exam. Simple. Why did they give you an exam? They gave you an exam to test you. All the things you've been learning, if really, really, really you are learning. You understand? That's how life is. That's how life is. To test you. If you were really, really learning. So, it is important for you to understand that this life will come with exams. It comes with tests. But what are you doing now? Are you equipping yourself? The best material to equip yourself with is the Word of God. Because that one is sure. That one, we've read the history of people that used it to conquer the world. So we know about that one. That's the one that we're sure about. Bible says the elders, they framed the Word of God. They framed their word with the Word of God. With the rhema of God. Now, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let me quickly run through Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Yeah? Matthew chapter 20. Let me tell you something. See, the Word of God is not a motivational speech, okay? When you join meetings like this, don't think I'm trying to motivate you. I'm not motivating you. I'm teaching something that I'm working with, I'm using. You see, I live with the Holy Ghost every day. I'm partnering with the Holy Ghost. I'm putting the Word of God to work in my life every single day. So I'm not motivating you. That's why, do you know why? People think it's motivation. That's why a lot of people have died. You don't use the Word of God as motivation. That's why people think, oh, okay, this people, let me just do it. Let me just do it because they're doing it. Let me just do it like this. And they do it and do it and do it and do it. It doesn't work for them because they're taking that as motivation. No, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. I'm not just talking about the letters. Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. It's something you can bank, you can use. You can use. You can use. Now, I said Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Now look at what Jesus said here. Jesus said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, so we have won before we came to this earth. We won already. We won. We won. All power has been given unto us. All power has been given unto you in heaven and on earth. All power. All power has been given unto you. In the last meeting I read in the book of Ephesians 3:20. Bible says God is able to do all things. See, is able to do all things that are beyond what you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you, because there's a power that's been given unto you. Amen. So we are maintaining a victory in Christ. That's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made me free from the law of sin and death. That means get free. Get free. It's possible not to die. In fact, we're not going to die. There are people who are going to die, but no, we are not going to die. See, Because, see, we are operating in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen.
I trust that you were blessed and transformed by the Word of God. To contact us, kindly send an email to thegreaterlifeglobal@gmail.com or any of our social media platforms @greaterlifeglobal.